Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday, and so that's the theme of the message, and it's always, I believe, the third Sunday of January, and it was designated, I believe, by Reagan. I'm not sure, but I think it was Reagan, but it was designated in response because this is also the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which is the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion in our nation. And so in response to that, the third Sunday of January was designated as Sanctity of Life, because regardless of what laws say, it doesn't make it right. You know, God has a moral law that was in effect way before man-made laws came into effect, and so all that to say, it is an area that we are hoping will make some big steps forward in the coming in this administration, because this administration has expressed an interest in cutting Planned Parenthood funding and those kind of things. So we're praying that this will happen, but regardless of that, life is precious, life is valuable, whether it's the child in the womb or the paralyzed or the mentally impaired or the extremely old, that society says there's no value there, but God says there's great value there. And so we are going to look at that today. And so to start this off, I've got a video. It's about 4 minutes. And then we'll get to the message.
Every life is a wonderful gift that God has given. God has created everyone special and with an eternal purpose. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. It is He who made us, and we are His, sheep of His pasture. Every pregnant teen, every unborn child, every broken woman with an abortion in her past, every frightened guy who finds out he's a father, is loved by the Creator. Each one has unmeasurable value and needs to know the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. We are glad because abortion rates in America are declining, thanks largely to the work of thousands of pregnancy resource centers. It's good news, but is it enough? The leading causes of death in our nation are accidents, cancer, heart disease, and abortion. Abortion is still the leading cause of death in the United States, not just in infants, but in the entire U.S. population. Death by abortion is higher than cancer and heart disease put together. The battle for the lives of the unborn is often a thankless one, but two Gallup polls have given us reason to rejoice. For the first time in years, more people identified themselves as pro-life than pro-choice. We celebrate because the tide is turning. Our ministry is not just to save the lives of the unborn. We are here in the name of Jesus for women and men at a time of crisis in their lives. Our goal is to give them the information and support they need to be able to make an informed, well-thought-out decision that will affect the rest of their lives. So many of our clients think that abortion is their only option.
When I was faced with my positive pregnancy test, I felt like I had hit a brick wall. I thought my life was over. All I could think about was getting rid of it so my life could continue on again. After I talked to my counselor at the center, I understood that my life wasn't over. I didn't have to choose between my life and my baby's life. The center gave me options and the support I needed. My daughter is such a joy. Now that she's here, I can't even imagine what I was thinking of doing.
One life at a time, babies are being saved. One person at a time, decisions are being made to give these little ones and their moms and dads a future and a hope. With each life-giving decision, the celebration goes on. You can share in the joy of life by becoming an important part of this awesome work. Please pray about how God would have you to become involved. A few ways you could help are: become a volunteer. Whatever skills you have, we can use them. Partner with us through financial support. Become a church contact. Help us in our fundraising efforts and keep us often in your prayers. Today we celebrate the precious lives that have been saved this year. With God's blessing and your partnership, this work will go on throughout the coming year. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
You may or may not know, but my wife is the director of the Rose of Sharon. I'm on the board of the Rose of Sharon, and I also teach parenting classes at the Rose of Sharon as well. And it is a ministry we support in this church as well. And it's money well spent. It's money well spent. And I want to take this time to share with you some of the results from last year, because as a church that supports that ministry, you have a right to know what's going on there and how it has helped. And so there were just little thing that has a whole bunch of categories on it, but I just highlighted some of the more major ones. They gave 233 pregnancy tests. So there was 233 women came in during the year, you know, not knowing if they were pregnant or not. 144 of those were positive. Of the ones that came in, 42 of them were married. So it kind of gives you an indication of what's going on. 191 were other, meaning they were either single or divorced or separated. So there's a lot of education takes place regarding that. We had 54 abortion requests. Many, obviously 54 people came in wanting an abortion. We don't have a definitive number as to how many chose to follow through with that, because many times they come in, they get the test. One thing I will tell you, every single client that comes in gets the gospel. It's part of what they do when they counsel them. They present the gospel to every client. And some of them are already Christians. Some of them are not. When they leave, especially the ones that are coming asking for an abortion, we present life to them and we talk to them about it, but we have no idea what they do after they leave. Some, we do know, change their mind right there, and they go through the parenting classes, and those we know about, but most of them, we have no clue what they do after they leave. We give them the information and pray with them, and then they leave, and then they make their choice. They do. And so we don't know. 39 accepted Christ as their Savior last year. So it is a worthwhile ministry just for that alone. I get the privilege of leading many of those because a lot of them get saved through the parenting class. And the final class of the parenting class, I present the plan of salvation to them. And we have a very good response, usually about half will accept Christ as their Savior. But we do so much more than that. You know, as you saw on the video, it doesn't just stop with, hey, you should keep the baby. We provide for them. And we had, you know, the 144 positive results of the pregnancy test, but we helped 1,266 with diapers, clothing, food, medical. You know, we're not a medical facility, but we refer them to doctors that will help them and get them signed up for, you know, WIC and other agencies that can help them as well. And so we do a lot of helping them outside of just having the baby. Formula, you know, all those things. And so with the parenting class, they get strollers, car seats, swings. I mean, we try to provide what they need. Because I believe it's wrong to just say, keep the baby, have a good life, goodbye. You know? I mean, let's just be real. And so we do that. There was total clients last year, 1,499 clients came through that center. And so it is a very frontline ministry, a very active ministry, a very important ministry. Any questions about the Rose of Sharon? I mean, I'll just, you know, this is kind of a different kind of a service today, but I felt it important. It really disturbs me as to how many churches do not acknowledge this day. And I'm not saying they're bad churches and they don't preach the gospel, but it just seems like, you know, if we at the church don't raise these issues then and make people aware, then who will? You know, so I just always try to take every year and you know, this time. And of course, I share when we all throughout the year when I do the parenting class and so many accept the Lord, that's a praise. And I try to report that to y'all as it goes, you know, as things happen. And I know, you know, the men have come out. We get donations from Graco of strollers and car seats and stuff. A lot of times, and the men will come with their trailers and we'll go pick up all the stuff and bring it. So, you know, I thank you. And on behalf of my wife, I thank you, you know, for your support of the Rose of Sharon. Any? Yes, Brent.
I have a question. Yeah. All of the girls that are going there, are they mostly young?
You mean the clients?
Yeah.
Mostly. Mostly they fall between like 20 and 30. And we do get some, you know, you're saying what age, we do get some like 40 somethings sometimes. And we do get some, we've had them as young as like 14. And it just breaks your heart. I mean, I'm sitting there doing a parenting class with a 14-year-old child, which is really what she is. And you're like, man, you should be, you know, worrying about Barbie or something, you know? I don't know. But not about this. And yet that's the position they find themselves in. And so we love them and we try to come alongside of them in any way that we can. I mean, we hand out food. Stater cards and when they need food. And fortunately, I've noticed an increase. It used to be in the parenting class, there might be 10 girls and maybe one guy. But in the last year or so or 2 years, there's been a good representation of the fathers there, which is a good thing because there is a responsibility there. They're just not being taught that they're responsible. And I really lay it on them a little bit, too, you know, about, hey, you know, you had a part in this. You need to be a part of the result, you know, as well. And a lot of the young men have accepted the Lord as well as a result. So it's, you know, it's an impactful ministry. So, and it is true, you know, if you're wanting to, you know, if you have time on your hands, and you want to help, there's a place for you there. You know, you can volunteer, and it's very rewarding. Yeah, Pat?
I assume it's still the same. It's been a couple of years since I was volunteering, but the clothes closet for the babies and poor babies and toddlers is it's used clothing that's donated. Some new clothing people donate, but that's a big draw. A lot of the clients.
And
I'll have several children and a baby, and they get clothing for them, and once a month they can come and get some clothing with baby's clothes. So
that is true. That is still active. That is, and what's interesting at the parenting class also, the final week, there's a group. I forget what church they're out of. I think Church of the Valley in Apple Valley. I can't remember, but these women, I mean, it's got to cost them. They put together these beautiful baskets. And they're covered in like the cellophane with the ribbons. I mean, it's just, you know, really girly, you know, which it ought to be, you know, and it's, but it's really nice, really well done. And everything they need is in that basket. I mean, they'll have those thermometers and diapers and a lot of the hardware stuff you would have to go to the market, you know, go to the baby aisle to buy. That stuff will all be in there. And I mean, it's like a couple hundred bucks worth of stuff in each basket, and each girl, when they draw their numbers out of a hat, and they get to pick, you know, and they pick their basket, but all the baskets have this. It's just the colors are different and all that. So that this one church, that's what they do. That's how they support the center. They put together these baskets every time we have a parenting class, and I will be there Wednesday morning. Teaching, I teach finances to them. Having a baby costs money, right? Anybody that's raised a child, right? I mean, it's not cheap. And a lot of these young girls, man, they have no clue what they're getting into, and all that. And so we teach them biblical finances. But from what I understand, this will be the biggest class we've ever had. I want to say it's 21 girls in this class. And so it's either 19 or 21, but 21 sticks in my head for some reason. But either number, it's the biggest class we've ever had. And so they come and they have to come for 6 straight weeks. And as a result, if they stick it out, they're going to hear the plan of salvation. A number of them will accept the Lord. And then we try to hook them up with churches. We have a list of churches, depending on where they live, and you know, we try to, because most of them, transportation is an issue, and so you got to get them to a church that's near where they live. They're not going to drive anywhere, and so all that to say, we try to minister to them emotionally, physically, and spiritually, and God is blessed. And so I just want you to know the money that you give through your offerings, and some of you write checks for the Rose of Sharon through the church, and then Lynn adds it to the total that we send. And so, but I just want to thank you all for your support. And because without churches and individuals, you know, that center would not exist. We get no government money because the government ties our hands, you know, as far as being able to share the gospel, and we will not compromise that. So, you know, we believe that's the most important thing we do is share the gospel. So we raise money in other ways, but the backbone of it is individuals and churches that support. And so thank you on behalf of the center and behalf of my wife for what you give. And anyone else have a question? Or, well, let's look at Psalm 139. And that was part of what I had Brad read. But, it's just a marvelous psalm written by David. Today's a day that we celebrate, where we set apart to celebrate life. It's important to remember that life is a gift from God. You know, life didn't happen, you know, in some soup on a seashore 5 billion years ago, okay? Life is a gift from God. Life only comes from life. And Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is life. And it was only through God that there is life, whether it be in the form of bacteria, all the way to human beings, and everything in between. God is the author and the creator of life. And it's a gift. You know, and anybody that's had a child, it's just an amazing thing to me. You take one cell from a man and one cell from a woman, and out of that comes a person. It is truly an amazing miracle. And he's the creator of life. And so therefore, to celebrate life is to celebrate God. And that's why I have celebrating life and God who gave it. So today we're going to look at Psalm 139, a psalm that gives us some important reminders regarding our God and regarding life. And so I have on your outline, I think it says, we should celebrate. Okay, and then there's all the things we should celebrate. So first of all, we need to celebrate the God who knows me. The God who knows me. Look at the first six verses. Lord, you have searched me and known me. And that word known, it's an intimate, no, it's not like some of you I know, all of you I know. But I don't know you intimately. I don't know what goes on in your homes and what goes on in your mind and the trials you've been through and come through and the pain that you felt. Some of it I know, but not all of it. Not nearly all of it. How much do you really know me? And yet you hear me every week and deal with me during the week, many of you, yet you really don't know me. But I want you to know God knows you. He knows every aspect of you. There's nothing about you God doesn't know. He knows your hurts and your pains and your joys and your victories and your defeats, your heartaches. He knows it all. You know when I sit down. You know when I stand up. You understand my thoughts. He knows your thoughts. Now that can be scary too, huh? Because I know some of the things I think. I mean, let's just be honest. We're not always real holy with our thoughts, are we? We're not always compassionate with our thoughts, are we? But God knows all your thoughts. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. That ought to give us a moment to pause. You know, how many times do we kick our tongue into gear before we kick our brain into gear about what we're saying, right? I mean, we ought to think first. You have encircled me and placed your hand on me. This extraordinary knowledge is beyond, isn't it beyond you? Do you understand that God knows you better than you know yourself? It is lofty, and I am unable to reach it. The God who knows me. We ought to celebrate this God. He knows our actions, our thoughts, our words. He knows where we're at, no matter what we think, say, or do, no matter where we are. We are under the eye and the hand of God. He cares for us. And yeah, we disappoint him. We do. But that doesn't stop his love or change his love for us. It doesn't exempt us from his care. It doesn't remove us from his presence. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So even when you mess up, even when you say the unkind word, even when you think the dastardly thought, God's there. And he loves you just as much. We ought to celebrate that. He knows us. Isn't it amazing? He knows us, and yet he loves us anyway. Because I know who I am, and I know the things I've done and said and thought. And I don't know that I'd be all that embracing of myself. But God does. And I praise him, and I thank him for that. He is the God who is with me. And I kind of touched on it, but let's look at 7 through 12. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol or hell, you are there. If I live at the eastern horizon or settle at the western limits, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Listen, God is always with you. You are never beyond the presence of God. You know, we have those fancy words, his omnipresence. You know, but it's true. He's everywhere. And as your father, you are his child. He never leaves you or forsakes you. He won't desert you. You know what I have found? God does not change. He stays right here. It is me that moves away from him. But even when I move away from him, yeah, the fellowship is broken sometimes, but you know what? He's still there. He's still in my heart. He's still trying to draw me back to him, back to his ways and his word. That's what he does because of his love. You know, don't take for granted his unconditional love. And think of the word unconditional. You know, we have conditional love. You know, if you treat me right, you know, I'll think of you better than if you don't. Right? You're the same way too. Just admit it. You know, you don't like those that don't like you. But God unconditionally loves you. And he's with you. And, you know, in another place, the Bible says nothing can separate you from the love of God. Height, nor depth, nor width, nor breadth, nor oceans, or it doesn't matter. You cannot separate yourself from the love of God. It is unconditional. Man, I wish I could love unconditionally. I just, you know. And we do just, you know, we do reserve that for, you know, you always love your children, you know. I don't know if I love other people's children so much. I mean, you know, none of them are as good as mine. And grandchildren, forget it. None of your grandchildren are as good as my grandchildren. But that's how we think, isn't it? That's it, right? But God, that love that you have for your grandchild, that's, you know, you really understand love with grandchildren. I think even more so than with your children. There's just something about them, you know. It's just different. But with God, there is no difference. He's totally, completely consistent. And he loves you just as much as the next person. And we need not ever forget that. Can you disappoint God? Yeah. But you can't ever get away from his presence or his love. It's always there. He's the God who created me. 13 through 16. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your version may say fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God is your creator. Now you may say, well, I had parents. Yeah, everybody does. But your parents were only the instrument that God used. Your parents were only the instrument. And your children, you and your partner, you were the instrument God used to create your child. And we need to remember that. You knit me together. You know, yeah, we get married and we love one another and a baby is conceived. But who makes that baby grow? Have you ever stopped to think? You got two cells. They come together Now, what makes them make hair and eyes, which are totally different, right? Skin, your organs, lungs, your feet to grow and then have toes, and your hands to grow and then have fingers. Why does that happen? I mean, why doesn't it just grow into a blob, which is what the world says it is? No, don't worry about it. It's just a blob. But yet you can look through science at a baby that's only been conceived for a month, and you see hands and you see eyes, and the head's already there, the brain is there, the heart is beating. And what do you realize, really, how little you had to do with it? Now, I think the woman has more to do with it than the man, but how little we really have to do with it, and how little control you have over how that baby comes out. You can have identical twins, but identical twins are not identical. They're very unique. And, you know, I've got three boys, and they are all as different as night and day from the same parents. And they're all totally different. In some ways, they're the same. You know, the family resemblance, you know, and that kind of thing. But totally different. Totally different. God puts them together. And I love this. You know, he says, you knit me together. You know, what causes one person to grow to be 6'2" and another one to be 5'10"? It's God. You know, my parents still can't figure it out. My dad's like this tall, my mom's like this tall, and all three of us boys are up here. You know, where'd that come from? It's just an amazing thing. Every person is remarkably and wonderfully made. We're all unique. We have different gifts, different talents. You know, what did I do to get my talent? What talent did I have? Now, you can learn things, but then there's those things you're just gifted with, you know? People that play music, you know? I did learn to play an instrument at one time, but I was no good at it because I didn't really have... I learned the notes. I learned how to read it, you know? But I was no good at it because I'm just not gifted in that way. And yet my middle son writes music, plays like three different instruments, all self-taught. You know? He didn't get it from me. Guarantee you that. God does something within us. And I love this. It says, all my days were written in your book before they even began. Do you understand God had a plan for you before you were born? And he knew who you were going to be and what your attributes were going to be and your strengths and your weaknesses. All those things. He knew all that. And he said, but I have a purpose. That person's valuable. And I want them to know my son. And then I want them to use those abilities and gifts that I gave them to serve me. And I will use them in a mighty way. It's an amazing thing. The God who created me. Remember this. No matter where you're at in life, no matter... You know, you may be breaking down health-wise or physically or financially or relationally and all those things, but you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And never forget that. Whatever your limitations are, God knew about it. And he wanted to use you in a special way. The God who created me. The God who ponders me. I love this. 17 and 18. Some versions say this. Some versions say others. It says, God, how difficult in my version. Others, it says, how precious. Okay. Your thoughts are for me to comprehend. How vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, I'm still with you. You understand that God ponders you? You know, you're not just like, you know, so many of the things we do, when it's new, we pay a lot of attention to it. Then it gets set on a shelf. And how many of you have you ever started looking through some stuff you clean out? Oh, man, I remember this. Right? Man, I forgot I even had this. You understand that God never forgets you? He's never done using you. You know, so much of the stuff we got in our cupboards and stuff, you know, it was very exciting to us when we first got it and we had this great use for it. Now we totally forgot we ever had it. But God does not forget he ever had you. He does not forget he ever created you. He doesn't forget. He ponders you. He says, he thinks on you more than the number of grains of sand there are. You ever look at the desert out? Just look in the parking lot. Forget the Mojave Desert. or forget the beach. You ever go to the beach? See how much sand's out there? Do you understand how much God thinks about you? He is concerned with you. And he ponders you. He thinks about you. He cares for you. He ponders us. It is so good to know that even in the midst of the storms and, you know, the bad things that happen, and we've all had them, and some of us have them in the past, some of us are going through things right now, and I hate to break it to you, but there's probably some bad stuff ahead for some of us, right? I mean, it's life, right? But through all those things, God is thinking about you. He knows where you're at. He's concerned and he cares. Now, many things we do, you know, it's like reaping and sowing. We make bad decisions. We get bad results. Other things just happen to us because life, you know, evil world, evil life. I mean, you know, God never intended there to be sickness or disease or those things. Those were not part of his plan, but sin brought that on. And so we, as human beings, as mankind, we pay a price. And we all pay a different price, it seems like. You know, some people have better health than others. But the point is, God doesn't forget you or where you're at or what you're going through. He's thinking on you. And he's empowering you. And he wants to use you in the midst of your storm. It is so comforting to know that he does think of me. He is the God who is patient with me. The psalmist kind of shifts gears here. You ever feel like this? God, if you would only kill the wicked. Where'd the compassion go, right? You bloodthirsty men, stay away from me. You and who invoke you deceitfully, your enemies swear by you falsely. Lord, don't I hate those who hate you and detest those who rebel against you? I hate them with extreme hatred. I consider them my enemies. You know, I love David. He is just so real. You know, in one breath, he's like, oh God, you think of me, you love me, you care for me, you're with me. Kill all the enemies! You know, in the next breath, you know, in the next breath. If you'd only kill them all, this world would be so good. And I have to admit, I've had those thoughts. You know, you read about these guys that commit heinous crimes. And I always used to say, man, I think they ought to be strapped to the electric chair. And then when the jury says guilty, they all just flip the switch. You know? Seriously, man. None of this 45 years of appeals. You know, guilty, you know. Then somebody told me, they said, well, that's really harsh. I said, okay, give them the plan of salvation, then flip the switch. I'm so glad God is patient with me. And he's way more patient with me than I am with others. You ever go there? Don't we have a problem being patient with others? But we want him to be patient with us, and we want others, you know, to be patient with us. But boy, when somebody does something wrong, I want justice right now. You ever get cut off, you know, on freeway? Where's a cop? There's never a cop around when somebody pulls one of these bonehead maneuvers, right? Yet I get pulled over, you know. And I had a good reason. Not like those knuckleheads. I am so glad God is patient with me. And more patient with me than I am with others. But you know what? We ought to be patient with people. And don't expect them to have it all together. You know why? Because you don't. And if God hasn't struck me with a lightning bolt, why should I expect him to strike you? Right? God's patient. Yeah, we get frustrated and we say things like, kind of like David here, you know. We say things because we get frustrated, and it can be frustrating in this life, especially when you're a Christian with that perspective and you know how it ought to be, and it just isn't that way. And we get frustrated and we just say, God, can't you just... But God says, you know what? As much as I love you, I love them too. And I want them to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ too. Because Jesus died for them too. I'm glad God's patient. But you know what? It's okay to get your feelings out. David did. You know, God's big enough to handle your feelings. I tell people that. You know, sometimes people, you know, they're like, oh, you know, and I'm like, hey, tell him. If you're mad at God, tell him. He's a big God. He can handle your anger. And he gave you these emotions. We just don't always handle them in a godly way, but he still gave them to us. And you know what? He's big enough to handle it. Just go to him. If you're angry, go to him. If you're hurt, go to him. You know, if you're just totally frustrated, go to him. He can handle it. You know, remember Adam and Eve? God goes to Adam and says, why'd you do this? Well, the woman you gave me. Woman you gave me did it. I mean, he'd start right off blaming God. I mean, he blamed the wife, but he said, the woman you, God, gave me. So it was her, but it's really you, because you're the one that made her. Was God big enough to handle it? Yeah, he was. He handled Adam. He handled Moses. Remember, Moses got mad, struck the rock. Shouldn't have struck it. God's big enough to handle that. And you know what? Whatever you got going on between you and God, he's big enough to handle that too. Trust him. He's a good God. He loves you. He just got through saying it. He's big enough to handle whatever it is you got going on. Your fear, your uncertainty, your anger, your hatred, your jealousy. And you know, we all got some of that in there. All that stuff's there. Our sense of justice. But he's big enough to handle it. I'm glad he's patient, though. My goodness, I'm glad he's patient. He's busy conforming us to the image of his son. That's what he's doing. And I have to admit, I don't think about that electric chair thing so much anymore. No. I have more compassion. I don't have as much as my wife. I probably never will. But I have more than I did, and that's part of God conforming me to the image of his son. And he's working in you too, in whatever area it is that you need it. Lastly, he's the God. We need to celebrate the God who sanctifies me. Search me, God, and know my heart. That's a scary thing to say. Test me and know my concerns. That's a scarier thing to say. see if there is any offensive way in me. You think you got some offensive things in you? Yeah, we all do. And lead me in the everlasting way. He sanctifies us. This is like, search me, God, know my heart, and then test me. You know, you ever think you got something handled? I remember, because I have the tendency to get angry. And I used to think, okay, I don't get angry so much anymore. And then God showed me. He tested me. You know how he tests you? Just send somebody your way that pushes your buttons. A lot of times it's your wife or your husband, you know. But somebody, or your children. But they'll push your button. And that's when you find out if you've really grown. Because, you know, it's okay to say, hey, you know, hey, I haven't lost my temper in 6 months. I must be all better. Really? Well, maybe nobody's pushed your button for 6 months. And you just think you're okay. And then that person comes along and just says that right thing, right? And foo, and then you know what? You just found out where you're at. It isn't God testing you so he can see. He's testing you so you can see. And that's what you got to remember. He already knows. But when the test comes our way, that's because a lot of times we fool ourselves. Oh, I think I'm okay. Oh, I'm a real forgiving person. Yeah, I forgive everyone. Really? So God brings some guy your way, right? Then you find out. Then you find out. He sanctifies us. That just means he sets us apart. He wants us to be like Jesus. And he does this. He searches us. He knows who we are. And then he tests us so that we can know where we're at. And I like David's heart. He says, is there any offensive way in me? You know, reveal it to me. Reveal it to me. Because I want to please you. And lead me in the everlasting way. You know, not my way. My way is the temporary way. His way is the everlasting way. We are to be conformed to the image of God, the image of Christ, not to the world. That's what the Bible says, right? Don't be conformed to the world. Be ye transformed. That's what God wants to do, is transform us into the image of his Son. And he's about doing that in all of us. And we're all in different places, and we all got different areas that we need to be changed. And God is patient, and he works in that way. What a great psalm. What a celebration of life. And a celebration of the God who gave that life. David was truly a man after God's own heart. Did he have his failings and his issues? Absolutely he did. But God called him a man after his own heart. That is an amazing thing. Because you know as well as I do, David did a whole lot of things that weren't godly. But you know what? His heart was towards God. God didn't expect David to be perfect. God knew David couldn't be perfect. And you know what? God knows you can't be perfect too. But he wants you to have your heart turned towards him. So that when we do mess up, we just want to make it right. We just want to get right with God again. God did not just give us life and then walk away. Now, he could have created everything and then just stood back. And a lot of people have that view of God. They think he just created everything and now just the earth just does its thing. A lot of people think that. They believe there's a higher power, but they don't believe that he's actively involved. But my Bible tells me different. He is the creator of the universe, but he's also a personal God. You know, he was big enough to create everything, and yet he's so personal, he meets with you individually every day. Every day. He wants to connect with his children intimately. not a superficial kind of knowledge. Oh, yeah, I know your name, and yeah, I know you live in Phelan, and you work at so-and-so. That's superficial stuff. God knows your dreams, your hurts, your desires, and he wants to meet with you right there in the midst of all that. And God loves you and wants to be involved in every facet of your life. Every person bears his image. Man, woman, boy and girl, bear the image of God. We are created in his image. And that fact alone makes every life valuable and worth celebrating. Every life. So let's celebrate God as well as life itself. For God is good and life is valuable. God offers eternal life. He offers it. I mean, we have this temporary life, this physical life, but we all know our bodies are winding down, and one day we will be like Richard. We will pass on, every one of us. But God offers eternal life with him forever in heaven. We don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it. But it's proof of his love for us. And he loved us so much, he sent his son to die in our place. That's how much he loved us. That's how much he loved you. Make it personal. God loved you that much. That much. And he's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing. But you know, that's the interesting thing about God. You know, God doesn't get everything he wants. And people say, what are you talking about? Well, think about it. Do you think God wanted you to sin? No. Do you think God wanted all those girls that come through the Rose of Sharon to be pregnant and not be married? No. He didn't want that. He knows that's not the best way. Now, can God forgive it and then give you a great life? Absolutely. And that's what we tell these girls. Look, your life is not coming to an end. Is it taking a change? Yes, definitely. But you can still have a marvelous, wonderful, fulfilling, fruitful, awesome life. It's just going to take a little different path than you had planned. That's all. What a God we serve. Despite our stuff, he loves us. He wants to, as David said, he takes me out of the miry clay and sets us on a rock and cleans us off. And he wants to do that with you because sin is dirty. Sin stains us. But through Jesus Christ, you can be washed as white as snow. And everyone in this room that has actually accepted Jesus as their Savior, yeah, despite the stuff, I'm white as snow, man. Not because of me, but because of him. And there may be someone here today that has never been cleansed, never asked God to forgive them, never asked God to set their feet on a rock. They just wallow in the mud, in the miry clay. And I hope you'll make a choice for eternal life today. If you are one of those people, if you are someone that has never asked God to forgive them and trusted in Jesus for eternal life, then this will be your opportunity today. For the rest of us, are you thankful? I hope you are. You know, no matter what you got going on in your life, you got a ton to be thankful for. There's a God of the universe that created this whole thing, and yet he loved you as a person, as an individual. He loved you, and he sent his son to die for you, and you have eternal life in heaven ahead of you. Are you thankful that you are just the way you are? That's a biggie. Because I'm not always thankful that I'm the way I am. Sometimes I wish I could be someone else. That's just truth. I'm not happy with myself a lot of the time. But God created me. And He don't make mistakes. And He created you. And guess what? He don't make mistakes. Are you thankful that you are just the way He created you? You should be. Because you're special. Because you know what? There's no one else ever that has ever lived or will live that is just like you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you need to be thankful for that. And quit belly aching about your shortcomings. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many, is there anyone here today that would say, Brother Mike, I've never asked for forgiveness. I've just never done it. I know truth. I've heard this message before. I've heard this invitation before, but I've never truthfully, sincerely asked God to forgive me and save me. Anybody like that? Anybody at all? Just lift your hand up. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to call you up here. I just want to pray for you. Okay. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I need to be a little more thankful for just that God created me the way I am. Anybody like that? I just need to be more thankful. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I am so glad that God thinks about me. He ponders me every day. And I don't give much thought to that, but I'm thinking about it right now and I'm glad. Anybody like that? I'm thinking about, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just come before you just thankful that you are so patient, that you are so loving, so compassionate, and so powerful, that you could use even me in your plan. And Father, I just thank you for that. And Father, help me to understand that all life is precious. I think I understand it, but Lord, I need to understand it in a greater way. I need to think of it like you think of it. Help me, Lord, to line up with you and allow you to have your way in me in a greater way every day. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. Thank you, Lord, for your ever presence and knowledge of that life. And Lord, of your patience and your thoughts towards the lives you've created. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. While Kathy plays, Lord, you guys just, however God ministered to you today, I have no clue what that would be. But just go to Him. Take this few seconds, and go to Him and just get real with Him. This is your time. God, we come to you and praise you for life. We thank you, Lord. You are the creator of it. You are the one that holds life in your hands. And Lord God, your wisdom, your knowledge, your care, your love, your patience, Lord, your the way you ponder us, Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, for your interaction with human beings, like with men and women, boys and girls, Lord. Thank you for the plans that you have for us, Lord. And may we line up with you in a greater way in a spirit of thankfulness for the life you've given us. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.